Joining the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio at this time is the chair of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, Jeff Robbins. Jeff, welcome inside the barn and tell me more and our listeners more about your background and what led you to the COGCC.
Sure. And thanks for having me, Brian. I'm happy to be here. So I've been in Colorado since 1996. I moved here in January of 96. My wife and I moved to Durango, Colorado when we started our family and started our legal practices down here in Durango. I, for a long time, represented La Plata County. I was the attorney for the county that is the hub around Durango. And that led to learning a lot about oil and gas development and local government's regulation of oil and gas, because we had a big boom down here back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And so I helped the county in its regulation of oil and gas in a manner that was protective while allowing for the oil and gas and mineral estate to be developed. That kind of unique background led me to get acquainted with Front Range local governments over the course of the last 10 years or thereabouts, as they were experiencing a boom in oil and gas development in their areas, in particular in the DJ Basin. And so I worked with a number of communities to help them understand what they could and could not do in regulating oil and gas. That fortuitously led me to become acquainted with our now Governor Jared Polis. He was a representative at the time, and a lot of his constituents were dealing with oil and gas development in their area. And so I gave advice to then Representative Polis. And once he was elected governor, I got a phone call and came up and visited with him. And he asked me to be director of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, knowing that this would likely be at a time in which we would have some change at the commission, provided that the legislature was successful in implementing new legislation. I shut down my private practice, and I have been back and forth to Denver, and I've been honored to be director and now chairman of the Colorado Oil and Gas Commission, as we have facilitated the implementation of SB 19-181, the sort of fundamental bill around, you know, what it is we're doing now.
So tell me more about the mission of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and what is your specific role as chair?
Yeah, well, SB 19-181 created two new oil and gas commissions. First, it created a new volunteer commission that we seated in May of 2019. I was then director, so I was director for 18 months. And the director is the administrative official that sort of runs the agency. So I ran the agency for until July of 2020. And in doing that, we seated that first volunteer commission. They undertook, there was about eight different rulemakings from 19-181, and they undertook the initial three. And I was involved as the administrator of the agency to help that volunteer commission get those first three rules right. The volunteer commission went away, and the second commission was seated on July 1 of 2020. And that is a five-member, full-time, paid professional commission. This was something that the industry lobbied for in the implementation of 19-181. They wanted a full-time commission, and we have that now. And so I moved from being the administrator of the agency to being chair of the full-time commission on July 1 of 2020. In my capacity as chair, is I am in charge of running the meetings of my commissioners, and we have just recently tackled the mission change rulemaking, which will go into effect on January 15th of 2021. And then we've got three more rulemakings to undertake in 2021 from 19-181. So that's kind of the history of my work there and the work of the commission.
We'll get more into that new mission and new mandates in just a few moments. So I guess a lot of folks have asked, why did the industry want to move away from volunteer commission to a paid commission?
No, I think that's a great question, Brian. The industry lobbied during the 181 legislative session for a full-time commission. And some folks were not anxious to see a full-time commission, but the legislature in its wisdom decided that the full-time commission made some sense. Frankly, I, as chair of the commission, think that the full-time commission really does make sense for the state of Colorado. It gives us five full-time individuals with five different areas of expertise, one from industry, one from public health, one from the environment and wildlife, one from local government, and then one, which is sort of my seat, which is an individual that will assist the commission in making good decisions. So kind of a little bit of a wild card. I found that I think that industry desired the full-time commission because of the added capacity that exists as compared to historically since 1951, we've had a volunteer commission. They're not paid. They're not full-time. They have day jobs. They come in once every 6 weeks or so for a day or so and hold hearings. But with the new full-time commission, the law changed so that the commission will now be in charge of all permitting. Previously, it was the director that did permitting on an administrative basis. But with the commission being in charge of full-time permitting and doing all the activities that they do, the added capacity really is very much, I think, needed and very much good for the state of Colorado. I think that we'll talk about the mission change rulemaking in a minute, but just the sheer number of hours that went into that effort, I just don't think it would have been, I think it would have been beyond the capacity of volunteers who have day jobs.
Let's get into that new mission and new mandates for the COGCC. You say they're going to be effective January 15th, and then there's some more rulemakings coming up. So tell us a bit more about those.
Yeah, so we've got, again, as I mentioned, the Volunteer Commission undertook three rulemakings, one around creating administrative law judges to help us with the work we do, one around flow lines, and that rulemaking made for the first time the information around flow lines, moving the gas and oil from the well to the infrastructure, strengthen the protections around flow lines. And we think that that rulemaking will help obviate the issues that are addressed around the Firestone tragedy. And so that was a very important rulemaking. Thirdly, the Volunteer Commission undertook wellbore integrity rulemaking. And that concerns the safety of the actual well underground. It strengthened the protections around the life cycle of the well to protect Colorado's critical water resources. We all depend upon water for our lives and work and play. And this created kind of first best in the nation rules underground to ensure the integrity of water supplies with regard to the development of the wellbore integrity. And then here most recently, once the new commission was seated in July 1 of 2020. A lot of groundwork had been done under the mission change rulemaking up until that time. We had over 90 parties. That's not 90 individual people, but that's 90 groups that were stakeholders in our mission change rulemaking. And that rulemaking fundamentally addressed some of the main tenets of Senate Bill 19-181. Senate Bill 19-181 changed the mission of the state agency from a mission of fostering oil and gas development in a manner that was protective, but with the side guards of everything we did had to be cost effective and technically feasible. Well, that changed. And under the new 19-181 rule, we now regulate in a manner that is protective of public health, safety, welfare in the environment. And we don't look to the side guards of technical feasibility and economic practicability. Instead, we look to make sure that our rules are reasonable and necessary. And so with that new prism, we looked at the entire rule set from August until November, and we made significant changes that will ensure that the state's oil and gas resources will continue to be regulated and continue to be produced, but they will do so in a manner that's protective. So that was one of the seminal goals of the new mission change rulemaking. Another goal was to recognize that another main tenet of 19-181 was to provide local governments with new and additional regulatory authority if they chose to use it to regulate oil and gas development. And so in our mission change rulemaking, What we did was we created a regulatory environment where a local government and the state government can both use their dual independent regulations in a manner that allows for development of oil and gas, but in a manner that is also protective. So we tried to create and establish dual regulatory authority relationships that's going to be workable for the state of Colorado, that's going to ensure that the state's resources continue to be developed. They're vital and they're very important, but that they're developed in a manner that's protective. So that was a sort of a second main goal under the mission change rulemaking.
So flow line changes, wellbore integrity safety, emission change rulemaking, those are the three. What about the setback rules? Where does that fall in?
Yeah, so that fell into the mission change rulemaking. That was part of the moving from fostering to regulating in a manner that's protective. And what we did there, where we landed, and it was a unanimous vote, was that with regard to people, that there is a 2,000-foot siting requirement that if an oil and gas operator wants to site a location within 2,000 feet of buildings or people, that if it's within 2,000 feet, they can do it, but you have to meet one of four different off-ramps in order to be allowed to be that close. So the operator needs to look at other locations that are outside of that 2,000 feet, and they need to show that that location is the best location. And if you wanted me to go into a little more detail, I can talk about the four off-ramps.
Sure. That'd be great. Once again, my guest is Jeff Robbins, chair of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Let's talk about those four off-ramps when we're talking about setback.
Sure, of course. So first and foremost, if the property owner doesn't have a problem with a well being closer than 2,000 feet, they can sign a waiver and the well can be located within 2,000 feet. And I think that's really important because there are a lot of folks in the Front Range in the DJ Basin who don't have concerns about wells being closer than 2,000 feet. And oftentimes they may be farmers and ranchers that have the mineral, they own the minerals, and the development of the minerals is important to help sustain their farming and ranching way of life. And so that first off-ramp is, you know, right there front and center. And so if the folks decide that they don't have a problem with that, they can sign a waiver and the well can be located closer. There were three other main off-ramps. If the location is part of a landscape level plan, one of the things that the mission change rulemaking did was it encourages large swaths of oil and gas development as opposed to one off here and one off here and one off here. That sort of big, large, comprehensive planning is good because it allows the commission to look at the area as a whole and make a determination that even if these things are closer, that's not a problem because generally speaking, we're developing in an entire area. And in total, in sum, it's okay to be closer. So if through a comprehensive development plan, we've approved closer than 2,000, that's a second off-ramp. Thirdly, we created an off-ramp that deals with equipment. So if the well pad location is closer than 2,000 feet, but the equipment that creates the greatest noise and emissions, like the wells, the tanks, the separation equipment, or compressors, as long as they're further than 2,000, the well pad location can be closer. So that just gets at the practicality of it is like, you know, it's not the actual well pad at times, it's the equipment that could maybe create the concerns. And so that's the third off-ramp. And then fourthly, we created an off-ramp that just says that if at hearing, you're able to show to commission that you have taken actions that are substantially equivalent protections to public health and safety, then we can have that discretionary fourth off-ramp here. So those are four methods that we worked hard with industry and our stakeholders to come up with to say that generally we want to take a more close look if you're within that distance, but there are methods for allowing for development to continue to occur.
Kind of curious, how many active drilling sites are there in Colorado? Do you have a kind of a ballpark figure? Because it's down from the years past.
Yeah, I would have to get that information to you, Brian.
That's fine. That's fine.
We can try to get that to you. I can say that just with regard to permit requests that we have seen and that the communities have seen, they have been down for the year of 2020. There, you know, there's no doubt. Folks would like to attribute that solely to the development of SB 19-181 regulations. And I think that's unfair. I think that's an unfair categorization. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a pandemic that has driven down demand demonstrably. We're also in April, or March or April, I can't remember, Russia and OPEC, took some actions that further created concerns, and the price of oil went negative for a small period of time. So we're in a unique sort of place at this point. And as a result, oil and gas permit requests at the commission to local governments have been at a low. We are working hard with our operators to, we're turning on this new system on January 15th. And I know that the director and teams are meeting, I think, twice weekly with operators to get them ready for this new system so that the new system will not create additional hiccups that are beyond sort of the demand hiccup and the OPEC and Russia hiccup and all these other things.
I'm glad you mentioned those other market pressures out there, but it leads me to my question. So with this new rulemaking, what's the changes to the oil and gas permitting process like, and is it being accepted well by the producers?
You know, I spent time as chair after we had, adopted the new rules over the last couple of weeks. And I've had lots of discussions with our primary operators that plan on having the drilling rigs and plan on having a drilling schedule for 2021. And, you know, to a T, they all profess that this is a more robust process and that the process may take a little more time. But they also are honest about it, is that, you know, that's what we sort of expected from SB 19-181. And so they're rolling up their sleeves, they're putting together their permit applications, and I anticipate that we will get in place a new permitting protocol that is going to be workable for our operators, that's going to ensure resource development in a manner that's protective, which is exactly what SB 19-181 told us we're supposed to do. The one thing we heard from the legislature and the governor is that SB 19-181 is not to be a moratorium on oil and gas development, nor was it to be a free pass, and everybody gets just a free pass without, you know, a more robust look at oil and gas permitting. So I think that through our stakeholders, the 90 plus stakeholders, the oil and gas industry that was a very important stakeholder in what we did, you know, I think we've developed a framework that give it a chance. Let's get out there. I mean, we're not going to know until we get out there and start processing permits under this new regulatory framework and, show the state that we have achieved the right balance.
You know, there's been some consolidation within the oil and gas industry itself, too. There's a lot less players in that regard as well, with Anadarko's situation and Noble's situation. But bottom line, Jeff, what's the most important thing that folks need to know about the changes with 181 and oil and gas operations in general?
I think that, I was pleased, Brian, with the input from our stakeholders to this process. I mean, we had over 181, ironically, coincidentally, 181 hours of public hearings to get to this spot that we are. I got to tell you, for each hour in a public hearing, there was probably 5 to 10 hours of prep on the part of my commissioners, on the part of my stakeholders. And there was a lot of time and effort and work. I mean, this was some contentious stuff, but I can tell you that, following the meetings, I reached out to all of our stakeholders just to sort of touch base. And, I'm proud. We got to a lot of consensus in a lot of contentious areas. I'm hearing from operators, they're ready, willing, and able to start working through this process. The other stakeholders, too, seem to be pleased with where we are. No one got everything they wanted, and everyone was, a little bit frustrated and not happy. But that might be the mark of finding the right balance for the state of Colorado. And, I think the next steps is to turn it on and move through it and work together. It's is often said that, you know, we've got a certain Colorado way about doing things, but I think we did that here. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next steps for our great state.
Are there any other news or upcoming events that COGCC would like to make mention of now, or even final thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, well, we're not done. and starting in January, we're going to be taking up, there's three more rulemakings that are on the slate for 2021. There's a rulemaking around financial assurances. That's the bonding that goes around oil and gas development. There's a rulemaking around permit fees. Historically, we've not charged permit fees, and now we have the ability to do that. And getting that balance right with regard to, you know, we got the mill levy that serves as a funding mechanism, and there's permit fees, and we need to find out that right balance. And then there's a small rulemaking around worker certification. So we're not done. You know, that's number one. And number two, you know, for your constituents that listen to your show, you know, I just want to pledge that, you know, we're working hard with your rural local communities to ensure that we create a regulatory relationship with, you know, Well County, for instance. I've already been on, I've had meetings with those guys, and they've got a process and we've got a process. And, you know, we're working hard to ensure that both processes will achieve the goals of the State Commission as well as those communities. Give us a chance, and let's see if we've achieved the right balance, and let's see if we can work with the various communities to achieve everybody's goals.
That's all you can ask, that's for sure. Thanks to my guest once again, Jeff Robbins, chair of the Cobbett Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. I appreciate your insight and your time today going through the 181 bill, because there's a lot there.
Yeah, there is, and thank you for having me on your show, and I'd be happy to come back in 6-8 months and sort of, you know, give you a touch base in terms of how we're doing.
You bet. Anytime you guys want to visit, be happy to have you. Keep in mind, the mission of the Cobbett Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is to regulate the development and production of the natural resources of oil and gas in the state of Colorado in a manner that protects public health, safety, welfare, the environment, and wildlife resources. You can learn more online about the COGCC at cogcc.state.co.us. Thanks again, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.